An intelligent response to a crisis consists of more than cleaning up the mess. You want to prevent it from happening again. For advice on that score, there may be lessons from overseas economies. Adam Posen is the deputy director of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He's now in Washington, D.C. Mr. Posen, as we've heard, the calls from around the world are echoing throughout the United Nations today. The financial crisis here in the U.S. has sparked more calls for regulation and oversight. What European models could be helpful in this regard?
There's no question we need more regulation and oversight than we've had so far, and all the Europeans have been more aggressive about that than the U.S. has been in recent years. There's a British model where you really separate out the financial supervision from the central bank. That hasn't worked so well, but it has the virtue of behaving on principles rather than strict rules which people can dodge around. It's also worked very well in Hong Kong. There's a Spanish model where they've had a real estate boom much like ours, and they've been very aggressive about making sure their banks keep capital on hand and people only take out mortgages who have enough money to pay for them. There's also a German model out there that's actually probably about as bad as ours. They've tried to centralize their regulation, but when they have all these public banks, they still end up having to bail them out. So probably what we need to look to is some combination of the Spanish and British and not get caught up in the French or German.
What would it look like here?
On the Spanish side, what we really could learn from are two things. First, being very transparent and upfront about requiring people to have as much money as they should have for their mortgages and making sure brokers don't get to trick people into thinking they have more than they have. On the British side, the thing is not to be afraid to really get after the financial firms and say to them, I know you're sticking to the letter of the law, but these sieves, these off-balance sheet activities really are on your balance sheet. In the end, the Federal Reserve did do that, but it would have been better to do that in advance.
Is there right now a movement that you're seeing to move in the direction here in the United States of either of those systems that you see as being providing models in the UK or Spain?
Right now, there's just a great deal of confusion in the U.S., and as you obviously understand, it's all the emphasis is on crisis management. But you're right to think about the longer term, and some of these models have been discussed in academic and policy circles for a while. Another aspect is there is an international forum called the Financial Stability Forum, where the U.S. at least should be taking a little more humble backseat than it had been in recent years and listening to advice from others.
When we talk about humility, though, I mean, the United States has done, maybe you can assess how well the United States has done under deregulation.
I think the U.S. has done very well on crisis management, and I think the U.S. has done well on some deregulation and not on others. Unfortunately, it gets caught up for obvious reasons in what's your bias, pro or anti-deregulation, and clearly we went too far with the deregulation. But there were earlier forms of deregulation that took place in the 90s that were very useful. A lot of the securitization of the more simple vanilla kind helped spread risk around in ways that explain why the U.S. economy hasn't been that badly hit so far, despite the financial problems.
The people who, for instance, have lost their homes because of the subprime mortgage crisis, would they be better protected if they were in, for instance, Spain or the UK or even France or Germany?
Yes, they would have been better protected from themselves, particularly on the continent, because there are strict rules about what the minimum down payment, the income ratios, they wouldn't have been able to get into these kinds of loans that the U.S. did. They also would have been protected more in broader terms because simply there are better social safety nets in every country except the U.S. among the rich world. So what happens to you when you fall into financial problems is probably not as drastic. The one place where the U.S. consumer comes out ahead is it is possible to declare bankruptcy in the U.S. without being tainted for life, which does unfortunately happen in some continental countries.
And before even getting to the bankruptcy point, what are the safety nets that exist in other countries you're talking about?
Well, think of it in broad terms. In the U.S., if you lose your house, you lose your job, you end up possibly losing your health care, although we can hope the next Congress fixes that. You lose the ability to finance sending your kid to college, probably. You lose some of your pension savings and are left with just Social Security, if you're lucky. And you might have to switch neighborhoods to neighborhoods where, due to inequities in our society, crime, disease are actually much worse, as is public education. In Europe, while of course there are social divisions, we all know the images of the slums around Paris, for example, the fact is you lose your job, you lose your house, you don't lose your pension. There's a pretty high state pension. You don't lose the ability to send your kid to college. You don't lose health insurance. So there's a much higher minimum, whatever the economic shock, financial or otherwise, in other countries. The U.S. does have something to learn from Europe. There is room for a more progressive tax code, and there's certainly room for keeping track of wealth in a more aggressive way.
All right. Speaking to us from Washington, D.C., Adam Posen, Deputy Director of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.